God is good. Well, you know, it's so important, the Word of God. But we don't just want to read it, we want to get it down into our heart. Not only that, but we also need to get it down into our heart. We need to get the God of the Word down into our heart. Hallelujah. And that is so important. You know, we were born and raised into this world, into a very ungodly world. A world that was totally anti-God, away from God. That's what we were born into. And you can see why Paul the Apostle talked about, you know, in Romans chapter 12, he talked about that we need to come out, we need to have a whole change of heart, a whole change of attitude. And it's so important for us to do that. A few weeks ago, I'm an emotional person, and I don't, emotions are good, but I was listening to a song, and I've never had this happen before in this sense, but it was like this song was kind of like a journey that we all go through, maybe from point A to point B, but also several times during our lifetime. And, you know, I really believe that God has something big out there for us. God is wanting to accomplish so much more than what's going on right now. And so He needs His people. And His people need to be in the Word. They need to understand the Word. They need to understand God in that sense. And so as I was listening to this song, it really moved my heart. It just stirred me. And I'm thinking, you know, the Lord spoke to me and He said, I want you to make a message on that song. And I've never made a message on a song before. And so I did that. And so I'm going to play this song right now.
Shoulders.
through trials, troubles, tribulations. We all go through periods of time when things don't go right. And sometimes we can get really beat down. And it's something that, it's life. Father, I pray this morning that you will touch our hearts. God, that you will see, help us to see this journey, Lord, that we're taking. Help us to see that you love us, that you are raising us up to be more than conquerors. Help us to see, Lord, that you love every one of us. You have a plan and a purpose for us. And God, I pray that you will make your word come alive to us this morning. Let your anointing rest upon your servant. And Lord, give me words to speak that will lift the hearts of your people, I pray, in Jesus' name. You know, it starts out when I'm down. My soul's weary. When troubles come and my heart burdens me. James had a little something to say about that. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He said, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various troubles. You're supposed to get happy about it. That doesn't sound like the right kind of thing that we need to do. But he says, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through tribulations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Patience, when it has its fully work, and it goes on and on and on. So the testing of our faith does something in us. I don't know about you. You know, sometimes I think I know my heart. What would I do in this situation? What would I do in that situation or whatever? And sometimes we find out we really don't know our heart. The Lord knows our heart. And a lot of times he allows us to go through things in our lives so that we get to see maybe a little bit more about what he sees that goes on within us. And so this testing and trials and everything that we go through is something that's for our good. You get stronger when you come through a trial, when you come through a test. And God reveals to himself, oh, he brought me through that. I can have joy in that. I know that God is with me because he took me through this trial here. So trials are something that's really important. And trials build us up. You know, it's like this life down here is like a school. We're going to school down here and we're learning stuff. And what it is to prepare us for what's coming out there, especially for eternity. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to eternity and just barely make it inside to the door, you know. Don't have any rewards or anything. You made it, but, you know, I don't want to go that way. I want to have some reward. I want to have accomplished something in this life. And then Psalms 138, 7 and 8. Beautiful scripture. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. And that's what we're doing in this world. We're walking through the midst of trouble. You know, a lot of those people out there, they really don't like us. They hate us. It's always been amazing to me that you could think, well, this country over here, these people are really wicked. They're our enemy. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. You see, they don't like us because we don't fall into their mold. We don't fall into their way of living. We don't do the things that they do. And though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. Even if I stumble and fall a little bit, you will revive me. Revive me. You'll pull me back up onto my feet and you'll help me to get going again. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies. Yeah, they're mad at you. They're mad at you. So you'll stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies. And your right hand will save you. Man, he'll give them a knockdown punch. Hallelujah. His right hand will save us. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. He'll make your way perfect. We'll look at some people's lives here in a little bit, but He'll make our way perfect. He'll perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. He's not just with us a little time here, you know. He didn't just put us down here on this earth and turn us loose and, okay, go do your thing and on the other side I'll pick you up. No. He's with us on our journey. Hallelujah. He's walking with us and we should have that desire to walk with Him. When Laura and I get up to go, maybe we're going to go do some food bank stuff or something. We always pray, Lord, guide us and direct us this day. And there's nothing more beautiful to know that God is with you. And He's just as important as you are in what's going on in life. He wants to be a part of it. So let Him join you. Invite Him to join you in this journey. Hallelujah. Do not forsake the works of your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. We are the works of His hands. He said, you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which the Father has prepared in advance for you to do. God knew us way back before we were ever formed because He formed us. He knew us way back. And He had a plan and a purpose for us. And the plan and the purpose He had, like for me and for you and all of us, all of those plans and purposes harmonized together in the body of Christ. And so the body of Christ has a plan and a purpose. And it's made up of all the individual plans and purposes that He has in you and I. Hallelujah. When I sat down to come up, do this message this morning, I wept. Seemed like every few minutes I was having to take my glasses off and wipe my eyes. I love you people. I want to see God's best in your life. And it was emotional. But there were some people that went through things. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. Elijah had been out doing a bunch of stuff for God. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there
But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. And said, it's enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. You talk about a pity party. Well, we've probably all had little pity parties at times. Lord, it's enough. I know a lot of people say, Lord, I'm sick and tired of all that stuff we're going through. Just get the rapture. Let's get out of here. Let me tell you a little secret. I don't believe God is going to just let things go on like this and not do something to change this world, that this world is going to know that there's a God. He would not go out of here with his tail between his legs like a dog. No way. And I believe he has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us to rise up, hallelujah, and accomplish great things for his glory. I believe that with all of my heart. But here he was, Elijah. Well, he was that great prophet in the Old Testament. But you know what? James talks about Elijah, and he said, he was a man of like passions just like you and I. He wasn't any different than you and I are. He didn't have some special deal or anything. God didn't make him to, oh, I'm a real mighty man. He didn't do that. He was just like you and I. So when God asks you to do something, just remember, it's not you that does it. It's the Holy Spirit within you that does it. You know, it's Elijah went through a point in his life. He'd been used mightily by the Lord. He caused a drought for 3.5 years. And he was fed miraculously with ravens down at the brook. And later by a widow. He said, you're going to go over here to Zarephath. There's a widow there that's going to take care of you. So what did she have? A little pot of oil and a little handful of flour. God, you're sending me to, you know, God provided. God provided. And when we listen to the Lord, hallelujah, God will provide. He'll take care of us. No matter what you're going through, God will take care of us. Hallelujah. He called down fire of God on the sacrifice. He turned the people back to God. He killed, executed the 500 prophets of Baal. He prayed back the rain to come back into the country. He did all of that at God's commands. And for 3 years, Elijah had not made a move except hearing God's instructions on what to do. But now here he was. A woman said something. And he's running for his own life. When God's servants get out of God's will, they're liable to do all sorts of foolish things and fail in their strongest points. When Abraham fled to Egypt, he failed in his faith, which was his strongest point, his faith. David's greatest strength was his integrity. And that's where he failed when he started lying and scheming during this Bathsheba episode. Moses was the meekest of men, yet he lost his temper and forfeited the privilege of entering the promised land. Peter was a courageous man, and yet his courage failed, and he denied Christ. Not once, not twice. 3 times. Like Peter, Elijah was a bold man, but his courage failed when he heard Jezebel's message. And yet all of these men of God were used mightily by God to accomplish his purposes and brought glory to God. Oh, we're all human. We can all make mistakes. We can all goof up. But God can pick us up, lift us up, and carry us on and continue the work, Lord, that we have to do. Hallelujah. The goal of any spiritual attack is to turn you away from what God wants you to do. You see, the devil knows that if you start doing what God wants you to do, it's going to be his undoing. So he's going to do everything in his power to try to stop you from accomplishing what God wants to do in your life. Many things can beat us down. Sometimes we get maybe a lack of spiritual desire, or we start losing our zeal for the Lord because of the problems we're facing. Maybe neglect of reading God's word or praying. You can be doing good and all of a sudden maybe you're hit with financial problems. Your car breaks down. The washing machine goes out. You don't have the money to replace that or fix that. And you get your eyes off off of God and you try, oh, I got to figure out how in the world I can fix this. Well, the worst things you can do is try to fix your problem. If God is in this journey with you, Lord, we have a problem. Our car is broke down. What are we going to do about it? You know, maybe that's the attitude that we need to have. Hallelujah. And so the problem is we try to figure things out for ourselves. And we forget that God is walking with us through this journey. And he's wanting to help us. He's wanting to give us a little wisdom. He's wanting to give us a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or something. So we need to partner with him and look to him for our needs. And the words of the song give us some instruction on that. Then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. Wow. Till you sit a while with me. Sometimes the best thing to do is sit down and wait on the Lord. We get in a big hurry, you know, to get out there and try to fix it ourselves. How about just waiting on the Lord? Give him a chance. I remember my first pastor after I was saved. He invited me to come with him. He'd have a prayer meeting every Sunday morning before church. It was early, like 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to get up at 5 o'clock. But you know, I went. And I remember he'd get down there, kneel, and he'd be down there. And he wouldn't say a word. He's just quiet. He just stayed there still. It's like he was waiting on the presence of God. You know, we get down there sometimes, we just start going on, and maybe God isn't there listening yet. Give him a chance to get there. But he invited me, and I learned some things. He was a very powerful preacher. In fact, some people didn't like him because it was like, I don't know what he meant. I don't know what he said. Well, he'd give a point, then he'd build another point here, and every point was built. If you weren't paying attention here, you'd miss out and you didn't know where he was without. He was a very, very wonderful preacher. And he touched a lot of lives. But that's what God desires. He desires to have fellowship with us. We were created to have communion with him. He wants us to have fellowship. He didn't just put us down here. No, he wants to have fellowship with us. Hallelujah. That's what his desire is. Don't be in a hurry. I can be there myself. I got to watch that myself. Don't get in a hurry. But that's what we were created for, is to have fellowship with God. And so the chorus begins, "You raise me up so I can stand on mountains." Hallelujah. And remember, there's always two mountains for a valley. Yeah, we're down in the valley sometimes. We're on the mountaintop. We learn some stuff there, you know, and then we got to go down in the valley for a while. Well, what we're doing down in the valley, then we're practicing the things we learned on the mountaintop. God gave us that stuff up there, and we get to use it down here. And it takes us through until we climb the next mountain. And remember, the land of Israel was like land of hills and mountains. You know, it's like that's what life is like. Hallelujah. So God always provides us with encouragement in our journey. Our Father always has our best interests in mind. He's smarter than we are. Amazing, huh? But even when we fail and go astray, He will discipline us, yes, with His love. And woo us back to Himself. He's not going to turn you loose. I want to tell you something. None of you are going to get away from God. He's going to be on your tail. He's going to be on your tail. No matter what you do, He's going to be there. He's going to hound you. You might as well just give in to Him. Hallelujah. You might as well give in to Him. So He will discipline us with His love. A lot of parents don't believe in discipline today. But discipline needs to be done with love. And the discipline is used to wake us up and to cause us to turn back to Him. He is Jehovah. And we will reap what we've sown. Even those men of God in the Old Testament that were men of God, David was a man after God's own heart, but he reaped what he sowed. But he was still a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he repented of his sin and turned back to God and worshiped God and gave himself. But he still paid the piper. And we will pay the piper for the things that we do. So don't do some of those things. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:10-14. "For thus says the Lord." Now, I want to mention something here first. Israel, God told them in the book of Deuteronomy, He told them the blessings and the cursings. Blessings, if you follow me and everything, I'll give you the blessing. But if you turn from me and follow after other gods and do these kind of things, these are the curses that's going to happen upon you. So you read the book of Judges, sad. It's sad because it seemed like every time they turned around, they were doing what God told them not to do. They were worshiping the gods of the land. And so God punished them in the land. He'd have people, He would have different countries come in against them. And He would discipline them in the land. But if they got too far, and Israel very definitely did get too far. Judah, they got way too far. They got worse than what the people were doing when God routed them all out. And God said, if you get carried away on this and keep doing that kind of stuff, I'm going to take you out of the land. You're not going to be able to stay in the land. And that's what happened. And they were taken over to another country, Babylon. And so Jeremiah is saying, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And God will be found by anyone if they will seek him and search him with all of their heart. Don't be double-minded. Mean what you're saying. And I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity. Because anytime we walk out from under God's umbrella, we're open to the enemy. An enemy can take us captive. And God will deliver us from that enemy if we turn to him with all of our hearts. Hallelujah. And I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back, bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. He'll bring us back where we belong. God is a merciful God. You know, there's people out there in the world that are doing horrible things. But if they'll turn to God and ask for forgiveness, he'll forgive even them. Hallelujah. We will obey God or we will obey the enemy. Well, I don't want to obey God, so I'm going to go over here. Guess what? You will obey the enemy. You'll get caught up in him. And only God can set us free a lot of times. Moses met God on the mountain in a fiery bush experience in which he was called by God to do the impossible. God, you know, your calling is impossible for you to do in your own self. You can't do it. It's impossible. But if God called you to do it, he'll give you the strength and the ability to do it. So in this fiery bush experience, he was called by God to do the impossible, to deliver his people out of Egypt with signs and wonders, and brought great glory to God before the whole world. And he was told that Israel would serve God on that same mountain where he had this experience. God will bring Israel there. Now you think, one man, well, his brother came with him too. There's two of them, Moses and Aaron. Could deliver 2 million people from Egypt and bring them here? Ha, ha, ha. I mean, you can just imagine it. How's that going to happen? God did it. And you can read all about it in the book of Exodus. Hallelujah. Exodus 19:4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to bring you to himself, so that you can have a relationship with him again, and so you can walk in the peace and the glory and the peace of God. Hallelujah. And it's interesting in that, in the book of Matthew, chapter 17, Peter, James, and John got to go up on a little excursion with Jesus up on a high mountain. It says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Behold, Moses and Elijah. Guess who's there? Oh, I mean, they had a problem back there, though. Oh, God brought them through the problem. Hallelujah. Moses and Elijah appeared talking with them. They had a mountaintop experience, I would say. And then they had to come back down, take care of things down on the lower level. They had a demon, an epileptic demon, that had to be cast out of a child. The Lord's disciples found themselves many times on stormy seas. So you raise me up to walk on stormy seas. And they found themselves many times on stormy seas, more than once. And Jesus always used the circumstances of life to teach truth. And Jesus had sent the disciples over to the other side. He said, go on over to the other side. So they were in their boat going over the other side, and he was going to come along later. And a storm blew up. And they're in the midst of that storm. Really bad storm. And Jesus comes, like the fourth watch of the night, walking on the water. And he comes up. They thought it was can't be a man. Got to be a ghost or something, you know. Matthew 14:28-32. And Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Hallelujah. Now, a lot of people criticize Peter for not having enough faith. I noticed Peter was the only one that got out of the water, out of the boat. And he was the one that, he walked for a while until he noticed the wind and the waves and everything. Then he got scared. As we walk through life, we're all going to face stormy seas at times. Things aren't going to go well. There will be times when God will ask us to step out of the boat. Yeah, we use that phrase sometimes. Step out of the boat. Do something. Get out and do something that doesn't seem like you can do. God wants us to step out of the boat or out of our comfort zone. Lord, leave me in my comfort zone. No, we don't want to be left in our comfort zone. That's boring. Sometimes we come up with the excuse, I can't do it. I can't do that. Or I'm afraid. I'm afraid to do that. Here's where the word comes in. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's the one that gives us the strength. Hallelujah. Trust in him. Step out. Try the water. See how it is. God used the terrible stone to get Noah back on track, the peace message to Nineveh. He really didn't want to go there. He got in a ship and started heading the opposite direction away from Nineveh. But he was thrown into the raging sea where God had prepared a large fish to swallow Jonah. And he spent 3 days in that fish until Noah repented and was willing to go do what God caused him to do. Oh, I think it's better to just obey the Lord. I don't want to go through a big fish experience. That could be any number of things, you know. God has a way of pulling us back, you know, and getting us to do what he wanted to do. We have a free will, yes. We have a free will. We can do it or not do it. But God can cause some things to happen to us. Well, you know, it's better if I go over here and do this. I think I'll do that. So Jonah repented and he was willing to go do what he was called to do to start with. The chorus continues, I am strong when I'm on your shoulders. You think of a little kid sometimes, get up on daddy's shoulders. Boy, they're strong. They're big. Hallelujah. You know, there are times the Lord literally carries us along. We're going through a tough period of time, and the Lord just kind of carries us along. You've seen the old picture before, you know, of the steps in the sand, you know. There's two sets, and all of a sudden it's just one set. Where did you go? No, I was carrying you. He was carrying you. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 33:12 of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him who shelters him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. In Luke 15, verses 4 through 7, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there shall be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Yeah, the Lord looks. If we get out, we run off on our own, the Lord is looking for us. And when he finds us, he puts us on his shoulders and carries us back to a place of safety. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? And then I like this because the chorus continues. It says, you raise me up to more than I could be. You raise me up to more than I can be. He wants you to be more than you are right now. He wants you to be more than you can be. And he'll give you the strength and the ability and the power and everything you need to do that. To accomplish the will of God, you have to become more than you are. And with our world out there, well, how could I do it? Look at all those people out there, the wickedness in the government, all the stuff that's going on, you know, and everything. What difference can I make? Well, Moses could have said the same thing. What can I do? Is Egypt stronger? How am I going to go? They won't even listen to me. Now, if God be for us, who can be against us? 1 Corinthians 1:26-31. For you see your calling, brethren, are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You realize you're called. You're called by God. And this scripture makes room for me. Not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. He takes delight, hallelujah, in making you more than you can be. Hallelujah. And he gets the glory. He gets the glory when that happens. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Zechariah 4:6. So he answered and said to them, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So, you know, if God sends you out to do something you can't do, it's not by might. And it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. It's going to happen. Acts 1:8 says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. So God is always the God of the impossible. And that way he receives all the glory. We just need to believe and obey. He's asking us what he's asking us to do. When our delight is to meditate in his word and dwell in his presence, we're winners in this life. Hallelujah. And we can bring great glory to him. When we go through difficult places, we just need to put first things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When he lifts us up to be more than we can be, he gets all the glory, and we have a great testimony before the world, hallelujah, of God's grace and glory. Would you come and sit a while with us? Lord, will you come and sit a while with us? We need your presence, Lord. We need your comfort. We need your strength. We need you. Will you come and sit a while with us? So that you can make us strong. So we can receive strength from you. God, move upon your people this day. Touch their hearts, I pray. Lord, bring us all into your relationship with the Most High God. Cause us to walk in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Cause us, Lord, to rise up above the storm. Hallelujah. And be partners with you, Lord, in what you're accomplishing. Lord, bless your people this day. Move on their hearts. Have your way in their lives, we pray. In Jesus' name.